morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and often deadly myths which are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring while predicting how these events are going to shape our world over the next 10, 15, and 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His is the only reliable and credible voice in an exceedingly disingenuous world. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, it's toll-free. Your views are always welcome. It is 877-300-7645. We have for many days now been covering the story of Snowden's release of the court order to force Verizon to turn over information regarding tens of millions of cell phone users, all of which were Americans in the United States. They were required by a secret court under this court order to reveal the time and place of every phone call, in addition to the duration of the phone call and with whom the call had transpired between. So that if you used a cell phone, you called someone, the who you are, who you called, where you called them, where the other party was, and how long you talked was all required to be given to the federal government through its NSA. Now, that is stunningly unconstitutional as it relates to the Fourth Amendment and search and seizure without probable cause. And yet the very heads of these agencies, as well as the senators, congressmen, and elected officials in the administration who signed off on this program and who had sworn to uphold the Constitution somehow have not been willing to acknowledge the reality, and it's undeniable, black and white, that they have violated their oath to uphold the Constitution, that this program is in direct violation of it. And most Americans don't seem to care. It is an extraordinarily serious matter. Now, as for Snowden, the man who, 30 years old, released this information, all he really did is provide a document. It's a document that three other individuals who had worked for the NSA and CIA for years sought but could never access. But three individuals, starting 5 years ago, warned anyone who would listen, senators, congressmen, administration officials, their supervisors, and ultimately the media, that something had gone awry in Washington, and that Washington was no longer viewing the enemy as China or Russia. It wasn't spying on them, per se. It was building elaborate intelligence and spying networks to spy on average Americans. The enemy in this war that government was fighting had changed. And they thought that was grotesquely inappropriate, that that kind of tactic is the tactic that was deployed by the Gestapo in Nazi Germany. It's the tactic that's deployed in most Muslim countries with their religious police, particularly in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, where nothing is private and people are accused based upon violations of their privacy and twisted uses of information. It is precisely what the NSA with the support of Congress and the administration, two administrations now, were attempting to accomplish. Now, the only thing that was revealed, however, was that was new information, because it has long been known publicly that the United States was had an, the NSA's whose specific purpose was to listen in to electronic communications. Whether those electronic communications were keystrokes on the internet or conversations on the cellular or standard telephones or even satellite phones, that had been their purpose. And when, you know, an NSA plane would be forced down, say, the one in China, the media was briefed, yeah, that's what we're doing. When the United States government would hold press conferences and talk about the potential for a terrorist attack, they would talk about our collection of this data. So, it's been known for a very long time that America did this. The perpetrators of 9/11, the fundamentalist Muslims who perpetrated 9/11, knew this going back all the way to that time. This isn't something that was new, that was created post 9/11, although it was intensified. They didn't communicate typically by cell phone or satellite phone or on the internet. They used couriers. And to this day, they only use couriers, handwritten notes. So, Snowden's release of information, which was only the one document, the secret court order compelling Verizon to supply data on tens of millions of Americans to the federal government, that didn't change the ability of fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organizations to operate one iota. They'd been operating with that knowledge for over a decade. It most certainly didn't change the way that Russia and China communicate. They've known this for, well, since World War II. That's why the computer was created. We would not have computers today if it were not for spying. That's why they were conceived. And so there is absolutely no vulnerability to Islamic terrorism that is a result of this disclosure. There's no consequence in terms of a national entity like China or Russia all of a sudden having espionage data from the United States that it didn't previously know and therefore putting America at risk. So why is Snowden being sought on espionage charges? He revealed a singular document. That document made the Guardian article. It was a secret court order, number 80, that spoke of forcing Verizon to turn over information on ordinary Americans, which means those being spied on, therefore the enemy in this case, are average American citizens. That's what your government has become.
Well, you also can't have permission to obtain those files, which Snowden actually had. Everything that he printed off and gave out, he had access to. He had complete access to.
Yeah, he had authorization,
yes.
For those files. Now, did he have authorization to disclose a secret file? No. Did he have the moral compulsion to do so? Absolutely. Yep. If you put him in a different setting, you have, let's say that you witnessed the murder that Hernandez formerly of the Patriots, has allegedly committed. And you see him commit the murder, you see him dispose of the gun, not allegedly here, I have no idea if the indictment will stick or whether he perpetrated this crime or not. But let's say that you're a witness, and it actually did happen. And you choose that because, you know, I could get in trouble if I reveal this, that you keep your yap shut. What you're doing is morally repugnant. In fact, it's a crime. And it's the very same thing with Snowden. Once you find that the United States government is perpetrating a crime, and you can't have a bigger crime for a government than doing something which is wholly opposed to the documents upon which it was founded.
What would the people's reaction to Snowden be if, let's say, he was Chinese and he came out against the Chinese people, government, and was like, hey, they're spying on people?
Yes.
America would be trying to get this guy here. We'd be trying to protect him. We'd be trying to, you know, help him
do
whatever he needed to do.
Of course. We're pure hypocrites in this regard.
Exactly.
I mean, the criminals are trying to solicit the man who is the liberator. In this case, the liberator is Snowden. He did something that can liberate America from the oppressiveness and disingenuousness of its government, and yet he's the one being pursued as a criminal, when the criminals are the ones who perpetrated the spying and then have lied repeatedly as they tried to justify it. When Barack Obama was running for office, this was one of the two or three most pervasive themes in his change campaign. He was going to change government so that, just like private industry, where whistleblowers are protected, you cannot prosecute a whistleblower in corporate America. He wanted to change government so that whistleblowers in government had exactly the same rights. Did he not, Scott?
Yes. He wanted to make it to, are you his quote?
Yeah, in fact, do you have it handy?
I do have it handy.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, often the best, this is a quote from Obama, often the best source of information about waste, fraud, and abuse in government is existing government employees.
No, let's just stop. Waste, fraud, and abuse. Would it be wasteful for America to spy on tens of millions of Americans in their telephone use? Yeah, that's wasteful. I mean, the NSA is one of the larger departments in the government. It's the largest computer purchaser and user in the world. So what they're doing is wasteful. Now, fraudulent. Fraud would be doing something that is illegal and then deceiving people about doing so. And so probably nothing could be more fraudulent than what America was doing, both with PRISM and with the wiretap. And then abusive. Well, this is a poster child for abuse of power. So all three of those things fit what Snowden did like a glove. We'll return with Mr. Obama's pre-election quote in a moment. Hello, and welcome back to Shattering This. We're considering the story of Mr. Obama, who promised to change and campaigned on the idea that federal whistleblowers, those who have found fraud or abuse or waste in government, inappropriate activities by their supervisors, how they are to be protected as whistleblowers are now protected in corporate America. And so he said this is what he was going to do, and he actually did pass legislation, did he not, Scott?
Yes, he passed in 2009. They passed the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, which is meant to include, here, I'll give you the, among the key reforms, federal employees are now protected in addition to already existing scenarios from reprisal if they are not the first person to disclose misconduct to coworkers or supervisors, disclose the consequences of a policy decision, or blow the whistle while carrying out their job duties.
So for Mr. Snowden to be extradited and tried would be a direct violation of the Whistleblower Act, would it not be?
It would be, based on how I'm reading it, yes.
Yeah, what he did was absolutely the poster child for why the act was written. Did Mr. Obama say anything else in his campaign rhetoric regarding whistleblowers that might be interesting for our listeners to hear?
I'll give you the full quote. Often the best source of information about waste, fraud, and abuse in government is an existing government employee committed to public integrity and willing to speak out. Such acts of courage and patriotism, which can sometimes save lives and often save taxpayer dollars, should be encouraged rather than stifled. We need to empower federal employees as watchdogs of wrongdoing and partners in performance. Barack Obama will strengthen whistleblower laws to protect federal workers who expose waste, fraud, and abuse of authority in government.
They have their carve out.
Obama,
go ahead, finish it.
Obama will ensure that the federal agencies expedite the process for reviewing whistleblower claims, and whistleblowers have full access to courts and due process.
Interesting. So the carve-out, by the way, is that while Mr. Snowden had been a federal employee and did work for both the NSA and CIA, as well as the State Department undercover for the CIA, in the last few months of his career, he was not a government employee. It's one of the reasons why the government uses stand-ins, pays companies like Booz Allen money to remove government employees from government employee status. So he was a full-time employee of the federal government, but yet not technically an employee of the government because technically he was a contractor. And it's one of the ways that the federal government goes about not having to live under the rules that it imposes on others. So so Mr. Obama, the campaign Obama that you're reading from a comment on his website as he was campaigning for presidency, did he do that? Was he the kind of guy that when disclosures were made about malfeasance in the U.S. government, did he protect those whistleblowers and make certain that they were properly dealt with for revealing the truth about malfeasance and government? Or was he exactly the opposite of what he said he was going to be?
Based on his track record, he's the exact opposite. The Espionage Act alone was signed in 1917. And up until that entire time, up until Obama took office, only three people had ever been charged on the Espionage Act.
So 1917, we're dealing with World War One. Where we're dealing with World War Two. We're dealing with the Korean War. We're dealing with the Vietnam War. We're dealing with the initial invasions of Afghanistan and also of Iraq. We're dealing with the Gulf War One. We got a lot of wars. I mean, we were busy fighting wars during that period of time. So the Espionage Act dates back to 1917. How many people were brought under charges of it way from 1917 to the time that he was elected president?
Under charges specifically for leaking information, three people under that entire time.
All right, and how many since Mr. We're going to protect and encourage whistleblowers, how many since he's taken office?
This will be his eighth one, specifically under the leaking, under Obama for leaking information. This will be the eighth person.
Otherwise, a pure hypocrite.
Yes, the track record shows that's true.
A complete and utter hypocrite. It is the nature of your government. It's the nature of most political and religious institutions. They actually are the very thing that they say they're opposed to. And that is the reason that you ought to not trust them. You ought to not be loyal to them. You ought not salute them. You ought not honor them. We'll be back in a moment. During this, we're talking about whistleblowers as they are defined by the U.S. government. There was an act passed by the U.S. government specifically designed to protect whistleblowers in the federal government. Anyone who, in good conscience, has witnessed either illegal behavior, what the U.S. government was doing relative to the Verizon confiscation of and reporting of telephone use of ordinary Americans is the very definition of illegal. And anyone who has witnessed that has specific protections under this law. Now, it is interesting that the law was written for federal employees to bring federal employees in line with corporate employees. Now, Mr. Snowden at the time was a corporate employee, so he would be entitled to those protections, while prior to the previous 3 months, he was actually a federal employee, which is when he made the decision to do this. It is interesting, too, that there are so many rights in this law that say that, you know, we can't even go after the whistleblower as to whether or not it could be reasonably determined that their that their revelation was beneficial. Their mentality as to what they were revealing isn't germane to their protections. But there is an interesting exclusion. It's referenced in Section 105 of the Act. It says it requires that the president's exercise of his discretionary power to impose national security exemptions that deprive employees of Title V. So if the national security apparatus is involved in criminal activity, if it is involved in abuse, fraud, and waste, then it is possible for the president to exclude an employee of the intelligence agencies from being able to reveal the fact that the CIA, military intelligence, or the NSA, even the FBI, were involved in fraudulent, criminal, wasteful, or abusive behavior. But it is also interesting, it says, let me read this specifically as it's stated. It requires that the president's exercise of his discretionary power to impose national security exemptions that deprive employees of Title V whistleblower rights must be done prior to the challenged personnel's action. So if there isn't something either regarding Snowden personally, which there wouldn't be, or regarding this exemption in what was called the Patriots Act, ability to have secret courts that enable the U.S. government to do things that it could never get by with if they were being scrutinized, that there is an exemption for the president, but that exemption has to be put in place previously. But it does not say that that exemption has to be communicated to whether or not the government chooses to operate in the dark. We have Glenn calling in from Philadelphia on whistleblowers. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Anna. Just a quick touch and go here. Just to further illustrate the hypocrisy involved here, their government routinely cuts plea bargain deals with criminals who turn state's evidence and rat out others, thus providing, you know, material and substantive incentive to others to do this when it suits their purposes. They also pay money to informants on the street. It all depends on whose bull's being gored, doesn't it?
Well, that's interesting. You know, we spent 4 or 5 days telling the story of David Headley. David Headley was convicted of selling drugs, and he received an extremely light sentence for doing so because the DEA wanted him to work for them. He then gets caught importing heroin into the country, and the DEA goes to bat again for him, and after he's convicted, they get him released from prison. And then he has both of his wives accuse him of physically assaulting them, but we do not bring him up for charges on that. Both wives even say that he's involved in terrorist activity, but we still employ him under the DEA and CIA while he plans to attack Mumbai, India, along with the Pakistani government. And we're willing to go along and cut him all sorts of deals. Now, it's just amazing how, as you say, totally hypocritical the U.S. government is in this case. When it's them being exposed, they don't play fair, do they?
Yeah, it's do as I say, not as I do.
Yes. It's why I one of many reasons, and maybe high up there, maybe even the top five reasons that I've come to love Yahweh. Because of who he is, creator of the universe, the author of life, if any, you know, the only one that can actually have the title that we call Almighty or God, he's in a position where he could say, just do this because I say so. And he's in a position, if he didn't want to play by his own rules, he absolutely could be a hypocrite, and who could stop him? But God not only talks the talk and say, you know, this is what you ought to do, he actually walks the exact walk that he is encouraging us to walk. He is the living embodiment of what he says. And it's such a radical contrast to government. You know, it's also a contrast to religion. I mean, look at the Roman Catholic Church and them claiming to be a force for morality. And yet they're involved in money laundering. They're involved in pedophilia. They are involved in all sorts of corrupt behaviors regarding indulgences and stealing people's money. And yet they claim to be this perfect bastion of morality. Pure hypocrisy.
Right. Well, that's why I tend not to trust organizations in general. You know, basically anything that's too institutionalized or systematized, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think that this is something that has actually become much worse over time. You know, I founded three businesses, took them public and watched them grow. And the one thing that I came to realize is that with my first business, for every 10 people you hired, there would be one person who you couldn't trust, who would, you know, talk the talk, but they wouldn't walk the walk. If you turned your back and gave them the opportunity, they'd rob you blind. And over time, with the second business, it was about 3 out of every 10 would do that. By the end, what I was finding is that somewhere in the range of 8 out of 10 people that you would hire, given the opportunity, would just as soon rob you, and they'd come up with all manner of elaborate justifications for doing so. And you're giving them a paycheck, and yet they and a job and an opportunity, and they just as soon use it to work against you. I don't think the problem so much is institutions as it is individual consciousness, the corruption of the individual. That where we have ceased as a people to be moral. The campaign of political correctness has had its toll.
Well, not just political correctness. If you study, you know, the philosophers of the early 20th century, people think philosophy is just airy-fairy stuff that has no practical application. Well, you better believe that the think tankers apply it and study it.
Of course. But political correctness... political correctness.
Just political correctness. It's a major shift from deontological ethics to consequentialist ethics.
Yeah.
And this has been deliberately implemented throughout the 20th century.
Correct. The president doesn't want to bear the consequence of saying one thing and doing another. But keep in mind, the philosophers of the 20th century were weaned on the philosophy of Adam Weishaupt and his creation of what we call political correctness today and socialist secular humanism. That was towards the end of the 18th century. It was done coterminous with the birth of America. And so we see that all of that has had a consequence. That's not to say that mankind was previously moral. It's just to say that our capacity to be moral, to be just, to be civil, has deteriorated over time, and that in all likelihood it is by design.
Well, yeah, the inculcation of the notion that the ends justify the means.
Mr. Machiavelli.
So we have basically translates in the common vernacular into lying is okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, thank you for the input. I've got to go to Jason at this point. And Jason, I don't know if you've ever read The Prince by Machiavelli, but Machiavelli, who didn't actually say the ends justify the means, but wrote a chapter based upon promoting the essence of that concept, that he was actually writing the book to advise popes how to exert a political power. And so it was, that was the purpose of The Prince, was to enable those that he was close to first be able to claim religious power and then teach them how they could exert political power. And what you see in the Prince is not only that the ends justify the means, but that being duplicitous, saying one thing and doing another, being resolute in your rhetoric for good. It's kind of like conservative Republican candidates. Right. They will say things that sound great. You know, I could identify with much of the rhetoric of conservative Republicans. It's just that they don't themselves uphold any of it.
There you go. Bingo. Hope and change. Well, folks, we got that, didn't we?
What's funny, too, is that if you look back at the last some 20 presidential elections, change has been the primary theme of every one of those elections, including the elections run by incumbents on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. And it's just this whole, I mean, the whole secular humanist, politically correct pablum poison is what they've been feeding us. And now
right.
We're at the point now, the reason I called you, Yad, and bless you, the reason I called you is because I wanted to ask you, how does it feel to live in modern-day Sodom, brother?
Yeah, it's, you know, the old line from Christian preachers has been for a long time, if God doesn't judge America, then he owes Sodom an apology. It is kind of a funny line. But the reality is that God does not judge nations don't have a direct influence on Yisrael. All of his judgment pertains to one's attack on him or attack on Yisrael. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. I found section 105 of the exclusions of agencies by the president. The summation of it wasn't entirely forthright. This section says is, in fact, it reads, this section amends 5 U.S.C. By adding the ODNI and the National Reconnaissance Office to the list of intelligence community entities excluded from WPA coverage. So there's the ODNI and the National Reconnaissance Office, neither one did Snowden work for. He worked for the CIA and NSA, but it says it added them to the list, these two offices, which means that previously the CIA and NSA may have been on the list, or they were added subsequently by the president. It goes on to say, this section also states that when the president exercises his authority to remove an agency from a WPA, so he could remove the administration, for example. He could remove Congress. He could remove the Supreme Court. He could remove the FBI. He could remove the post office, for crying out loud. He can remove any agency he wants to from the Whistleblower Protection Act and therefore from coverage, because the agencies now... There is a carve out here, so I guess he couldn't remove the post office unless it was a courier of foreign intelligence or counterintelligence. Now, you tell me how what Snowden did was involved in his release of information, which was the document by the secret court for the purpose of collecting data on Americans' use of their cell phones. You tell me how that was a release of foreign intelligence or counterintelligence.
Well, it's not true, but what they're going to try and say is that that program is actually there to search the people overseas, the different agencies overseas.
Not the Verizon. The thing that the document that he released, which was the Verizon wire tap document without probable cause for tens of millions of Americans, that was for Americans. Now, they say that PRISM targets other than American citizens, but it may target them, but it's like saying that if you wanted to use a shotgun to shoot a flea that is 100 yards away, you might be saying, you know, I'm going to shoot that gun kind of in the direction of that flea, but, you know, the odds of it hitting the flea are really slim, and the odds of it getting everything that it shouldn't get are really good. And so the realization is that the targeting is just an excuse, a justification that has no merit whatsoever. You know, if we wanted to target, for example, If we were going to target Islamic terrorism, if that was the purpose, because Islamic terrorism is responsible for 99% of terrorism, and they say the whole purpose of this was to prevent terrorist acts. So since Muslims commit 99% of terrorist acts, you would target Muslims. There was an exclusion to the wire tapping and to the PRISM use of internet keystrokes. Do you know what organizations across America were expressly excluded by the President of the United States from scrutiny? I've got silence on the other end with Scott.
I do not know.
You do not know. Silence does not know. Mosques. No Islamic organization, expressly mosques, can be targeted. So the very organization that ought to have been targeted, that is responsible for 99.9% of terrorist acts in the United States and worldwide, is excluded. And the only way to conduct surveillance of a mosque or an Islamic agency is to appeal to the administration, and there is a committee amongst the administration that you must appeal to specifically to get permission to do any intelligence targeting of a mosque or Islamic organization. So this notion of targeting is pure rubbish. As a matter of fact, even the FBI training materials now on terrorism specifically exclude any mention of Islam. It's just how far we have gone down the rabbit hole of make-believe I guess it's the kind of same rabbit hole we went down to make business and corporations our enemy when they are the lone producer of value in this country. And yet we have decided to make them our enemy. And in the process, we have destroyed our economy and racked up $17 trillion of tangible debt and obligations of another $40 trillion on Ponzi schemes beyond that. That's why we're in such a mess.